The reading today comes from the 23rd chapter of Luke, beginning with the 32nd verse. Two others, both criminals, were taken along with him for execution. And when they got to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus prayed, "God, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And dividing up his clothes, they threw dice for them. The people stood there staring at Jesus, and the ringleaders made faces taunting, "He saved others. Let's see him save himself, this Messiah God. Ha, the chosen. Ha." The soldiers also came up and poked fun at him, making a game of it. They toasted him with their sour wine. "So you are the king of the Jews. Save yourself." Printed over him was a sign that said, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging alongside cursed him, "Some Messiah you are. Save yourself. Save us." But the other one made him shut up. "Have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Don't worry, I will. Today, you will join me in paradise." All right. So, how many, or did any of you just think, okay, that's an odd reading for this time of year? Go ahead, you can say it. No? You didn't care, right? It's like, okay, the pastor picks out the readings, we'll just listen to it, deal with it. Right? Yeah, see, now I got heads bobbing. All right. That's the lectionary reading, and the reason that they did it in the lectionary at this time of the year is why? What's next week?
Advent.
It's the start of Advent. Starting next Sunday, you can count. We are four weeks from Christmas, 4 weeks from Santa Claus, you know, 4 weeks from, and of course, as you know, the war on Christmas has already begun. Okay. You've been walking into stores for weeks now, looking at Christmas decorations, and your neighborhood is, even though you're in Georgia and we haven't had a drop of rain and there is no snow in sight, people doing their best to make their front yards look like the North Pole. Amen? Okay, so why on the last week of Pentecost and right before we get into Christmas would they have this particular reading? Well, theologically, there were a couple of reasons. One, they want us to remember what Christmas is really about. And then you sit there and you go, okay, wait a minute. Now, they want me to know what Christmas is about. So Christmas is about Jesus being born, the Messiah coming into the world. And because Jesus came, then we're all going to be okay with God. Okay, that's nice theology, but actually, I want you to think about something else. Because we now live in a world where it is really important that we understand what this story was really all about and why it's placed where it's placed. Right at the end of the church year and right at the beginning, where that time on the church calendar intersects. What did Jesus... As you heard that story, what stood out to you the most? Was it the two thieves? Was it the fact that the soldiers were ridiculing him? Was it the fact that people were watching him die up on the cross and making fun of him? What stood out in that story? As you heard it, what was the thing that you just kind of sat there and went, hmm? Come on. I'm going to start picking on people. Paul?
The criminal who wanted to join Christ, not the criminal who ridiculed him.
Okay. The criminal who had it fixed in his head, he knew that, okay, nothing this guy did, he's not deserving any of this. And by the way, when you get where you're going, bring me with you. Okay? Now, I can tell you, if when we were kids and you got into trouble, this kind of sounds like a little, hey, I know they did this and I know that I did that, but you can save me, so I'm not going to ridicule you. I mean, that's what it feels like a little bit with that, but okay, what else? Anybody else? Anything else jump out? I cannot believe, especially folks that have been married to me for almost 35 years and or a member of this church for almost 18 years or 5 years, is not going to tell me what should be jumping off the page.
He's not saving himself.
No. God, forgive them. God, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Folks, everything, that is the intersection of Christmas. If you're not willing to forgive, Christmas is going to suck. If you're not willing to forgive, life in general is going to suck. If you're not willing to forgive, you might as well find a different country to move to, amen, because the next 4 years are going to suck. The reason that this story gets told at this intersection is because in order to accept Jesus as King, as to understand why this birth is so incredibly important, it's about forgiveness. It is the linchpin on which everything hangs. Everything that came after that. You know, you notice that with the author Luke, it's the very first thing that Jesus says after they raise him up and he's been nailed to the cross. He's gone through a trial where everybody what? Lied about him. You had people that supposedly were on his side that abandoned him. You had a group of disciples that he had been teaching for the last 3 years that suddenly didn't seem to get it. Let us deal with any one of those things with our friends and or family, and we're walking out of the room, baby. We're cutting them off. They get cut out of the will. We don't talk to them anymore. I mean, I wish I could sit there and say that was not part of my shtick. But you know, I didn't talk to my parents for 10 full years. I hung up the phone with these words, "When you all grow up, call me." And for the next 10 years, I didn't say anything to them. I lost 10 years of a relationship because I was not willing to forgive what they were doing to me. 10 years, gone. Have you lost any time? Jesus knew that he was going to be okay with God. Folks, that's us. We know that we're okay with God. It's our relationship with God that makes it okay. So why are we hanging on to stuff?
Did Jesus know that he had to die for forgiveness to be something? Because up until that point, Jews could not forgive.
That's not true.
It was only God that could. They could.
Right. They could invoke God's forgiveness. That's why they did all the sacrifices, was so that you got God to forgive you. They, and you're actually on an interesting point now, they did not take responsibility for forgiveness. It was all on God. If
you insulted Alice, then Alice would expect that you haven't done nothing to her. Yes, it's bad, but the person that's really pissed off at you for hurting her is who? God. So that is kind of an important point that you're bringing up at this point, is that Jesus changed the message. I like that. But matter of fact, now that I'm standing here thinking about it, I like that. Because Jesus had always taught us to be responsible, that we were responsible for our actions, remember? Remember, in almost every healing that Jesus did, what was his statement? There was some statement or another of
your faith.
Your faith has made you well. Never in all of Israel have I seen such great faith. So Jesus has turned this around and made it our responsibility and said that our relationship with God has everything to do with us. So now we're not waiting on God to forgive anybody. It's up to us. And Jesus, as always, led by example. He had every reason to tell people basically to go to hell, which, by the way, in case I haven't mentioned this to you, hell might not be such a bad place because it's frozen over now, as long as you can ice skate. Well, I mean, the Cubs won the World Series. Amen. I had to slide that in, right? Amen. I got my Sports Illustrated cover. Yeah, amen, amen. 1907, 1908, 2016. Anyhow, back to my point.
You had one, right?
Yes. If Jesus doesn't forgive, there is no resurrection, folks. He didn't come out of the tomb. That's the lesson here. If there's no forgiveness, there's no life. Whether it's after you close your eyes or in the life that you're living, if you truly want this church to be safe, if we want to live up to what that safety pin means, if you want to do what the vicar is proclaiming in love everybody. In order to love, you've got to be willing to forgive. Because this story will tell you that there are any number of people out there that are just going to annoy you, aggravate you, hurt you, talk bad about you, do things that are not fair. And if you're not willing to forgive, the only thing that happens is you get angrier. And we know what the results of that are. There was some of you may have heard this story before, but there was a monk that was part of this whole big enclave, and they were having a horrible time. They were arguing and fighting, and there was all this pushing and control, pushing and shoving going on for control, who was gonna speak for the monks and who was running the abbot and so forth and so on. And finally, the senior monk, he went to into town one day to see this religious guy who was well known for his great wisdom. And he gets in front of the guy and he tells him what's going on in the abbot and all the trouble that they're having. And he says, "So can you tell me why this is happening?" And the great seer looked at him and said, "Well, it's the sin of ignorance." And the monk looked at him and said, "Ignorance? These are all well-educated folks. They all know their Bibles. They all know the theology. These are smart. How can you, sin of ignorance? What are you talking about?" And the guy that has all the wisdom says, "Well, the one for whom you look is already living among you." "You mean Jesus?" "Yes. He's already among you." And the seer went back to meditating and just left the monk standing there. And the monk was like, "Wait a minute, he must be in a disguise. But who could it be?" And he starts running through all the monks in his mind as he's walking back towards the abbot, trying to figure out which one could it possibly be. And by the time he got to the Back to the abbot, he tells the others what the great soothsayer, wisdom guy has said, that Jesus was among them. Living right there in the abbot. Now, what do you suppose happened? If you've been following what this is all about, you already know what happened. All of a sudden, the power and control games went away. All of a sudden, they started treating each other with dignity and respect. All of a sudden, they were nice to each other. All of a sudden, they went out of their way to be of service to one another. And why was that? Because they didn't know which one was Jesus. And they knew that Jesus was there in disguise.
Jesus is coming, look busy.
Folks, I have always said that the real definition of integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. See, forgiveness is the beginning of Advent. And every person we meet might be Jesus. There's a great commercial. They haven't run it in a while. But there's this commercial that used to have a picture of Jesus at the door knocking. And all the commercial says is Jesus is already back. Call. And they put a phone number. And of course it was a commercial for TV, church. But what they were also telling you is that Jesus is in every one of us. So that means it's about attitude. Mr. Moore, George Moore, says the difficulty in life is something called choice. And it starts with the ability to be able to forgive. If you choose to forgive, then attitudes will change. The choice of an attitude makes all the difference in the world. Our attitude determines our approach to life. Our attitude determines our relationships with people. Our attitude is the only difference between success and failure. Our attitude at the beginning of a task will affect the outcome more than anything else. Our attitude can turn our problems into blessings. Our attitude can give us an uncommonly positive perspective. And by the way, our attitude is not automatically good just because we are filled with the Spirit. We need to first look into the world and forgive them. Forgive them. And your attitude for Christmas will change.